There's a thought on our mind today, and I hope I can get it across. And I want each and every one of you to pay close attention to the scripture we're going to read to you today. In St. John, the 16th chapter. And listen to this. Start with the 7th verse. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Then drop down with me into the 12th verse. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, that Comforter, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Then if you'll turn over into 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and start with the 19th verse. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, it makes me so sick to hear people this day and time talk about how lenient a life that we can live, how God is so merciful, how God is so loving, how times have changed, and that we don't have to be anything separated and set apart. When God said that He was the same yesterday, today, and forever, and Christ said, it's expedient that I go away, because if I don't go away, that Comforter will not come unto you. And all of us knows what happened to the disciples. Though they loved Christ dearly, when Christ went away before that Comforter came, they were just empty men walking around, knowing the things that they'd heard, but nothing there still to guide them into it, to give them the backbone to stand, to give them the strength to endure under that day there of Pentecost. When that Holy Ghost, that Comforter came, it took up His abode in their heart. Then they found that strength to stand. Why? That one that Christ was talking about, He will teach you at the third part of the garden. You and I today, we need to realize it was true more than again, Christian. We have part of God dwelling on the inside of us. We're not our own, He said. You've been born with a crown. It's time for us to stand up. Be men and women. Separate ourselves
from the things of this world, and let the world see that Christ literally lives within us. Christ said, He'll teach you all things. You know, this day and time, people, when the Spirit begins to speak unto them and to teach them, and they feel uncomfortable, instead of running into it and embracing it, they turn and run away. But look back there in the Bible, when Christ was walking here upon the earth, when those had murdered and they come to Christ, what did they do? They knelt down and in peace of them. They even kissed His feet. They come bowing unto Him, telling Him what it was that they needed. Telling Him what it was that they were desiring of Him. And they received the thing that they come for. Why? They come into the world that has the power to heal. He has the power to forgive. He has the power to change your heart, to make them a new creature, you and I today, that power is still there. It will only come unto it. It will shed that Holy Spirit into our heart and life, and live and be what God wants us to be. You know, I've had people to say to me, oh, it'd be nice to be a preacher and have God speak to you and give you messages. It'd be nice. That's really something special. The rest of us, we have it a little harder than that. Well, I want to tell you, the same God that speaks to a preacher and gives him a message is the same one that will speak to the janitor or to anybody else in the house of God and speak to their heart if they know God and let them know exactly what that is required of them. My job might be something different in the eyes of the man, but the same God that loved me and forgave me my sin is the same one that loves you and forgives you of your sin. The same Spirit that took up the mold in my heart and my love is the same Spirit that will come into your heart and your life. The same Spirit that speaks to me and gives me a message is the same one that will whisper unto you early in the morning as He wakes you. Tell you the love that God has for you. Tell you what God wants you to do that day. We'll be there when your burdens come and you begin to pray and talk to God. To bring the answer unto you, to lift that burden, to let you know God cares, and that He's not left you alone. But that comforter that Christ said, that it's good that I go, that He might come and dwell with you. Christ knew He could be with everybody while He was here on this earth. He was only with the Lord. There was any presence in that time. But when He went to the Father, He said, I'll pray that He'll send you another comforter. Isn't it wonderful that comforter can be on all sides of this whole world at the same time? Well, in each and every heart, let you and I know just what it is that God requires if we want to know. You know, I didn't count them, but if you've got a red letter testament, you'll see where I was reading there, that Christ speaking, and He said, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. And then it goes right on down. He. And you know, today, people are so foolish as to refer to God as if it could be a woman, and they want to address it as maybe whichever one it is, I'll just address it and it'll be all right. You know, God makes it plain in the Bible. It's God the Father, not God the Mother. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And Christ said He, and Christ was a He. And Christ said, if you know me, and if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It was another He. And you and I today, anything else, if we ever got faith enough, if we ever got knowledge enough, to accept that, then we miss the mark altogether. We have no part to God. Why? Because and recognize that He, the Son of God, come and die for you, that He, the Holy Spirit, might be able to come and take up His abode in your life. Then you have no part with God, why? Except you come through it by the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot go in to God's holy city. You can come and drive the throne. Set the other right hand of God, that I might be your intercessor. That Holy Spirit that God, that take me a moment in my life. When I pray a prayer, He delivers me right straight to Christ. And Christ to the Father. Why need I go anywhere else? When I got a direct line to the Father, one that is precious in His Son, the only Son that died for me. I need no one else to call upon, because He's the answer.
And the Word of God makes that plain. He is our answer for whatever problem we have. He's able to solve it. And it's so wonderful to know that you and I, you know, you drive down the road, and I like to do this when I'm traveling especially. Look at the churches as they go by. And you'll see some that you know they cost literally millions of dollars. I mean, just literally millions of dollars. And that's wonderful. I ain't putting that down. I don't mean that. But you know that building, no matter what it costs, the Spirit does not dwell in that. No matter how poor the church building is, the Spirit does not dwell in that. It dwells in the heart of those it attends, if it's there at all. And you and I today, we might think we're nothing. But if we have that Spirit of God on the inside, He said, you're a temple for God. That big building that people look at, that they marvel at, Christ was even pointing out to Him the temple and how wonderful it was. He said, you're not one stone of it going to be left on top of another. But do you realize, you and I, when He said, what temple will you build me in over? What house will you give me to dwell in? He was speaking of that heart and that one that's not going to be destroyed. You and I, we both may go to the grave before the Lord comes back again. If that heart was pure and clean, and the Lord dwell on the inside, that temple will reign. They'll be where God is one day. Why? Because He comes to give you and I that right. He comes to prove us good. People will say, well, how do you know your sin has been forgiven? When that Comforter comes on the inside, He'll let you know your sin is forgiven. He'll also let you know when you're doing that that displeases unto God. Why? Because He's there to speak unto you. And you and I, we don't hear, we don't heed what He said, we'll find in just a little while He'll withdraw from it. Why? That Holy Spirit will not dwell in an unclean temple. He's there for you and I to keep ourselves unspotted from the things of the world. And I'm so glad that Christ come. And I'm so glad that His prayer for the Comforter was answered, that you and I might have that. You know, isn't that a wonderful word, the Comforter? Can you name it anything better than that? You know, when trials comes, you know, well, look back there to Job. Job here, those friends, so-called, come to him. And poor comforters they were. Why? They didn't bring him peace. They didn't bring him an answer to the trials he was in. They didn't do anything to help him. Isn't it wonderful, that comforter that God sent unto us? It is nothing but a help and a strength unto each and every one of us if we'll only listen unto it. When you have a burden and you begin to pray, you'll feel that begin to well up on the inside of you and to bring you that comfort that you need, that strength that you need. When the trials of life seem like that they're too heavy for you, back in the Old Testament, you'll find where the angels come and minister right unto the prophet that killed the tree. I've never seen the angels around me when I was praying in the David's tree, but I began to feel it well up inside of me, that Holy Spirit of God, and I found renewed strength. Why? That comforter was doing the part that Christ sent it to do, to feed me anew, to strengthen it, to comfort the girded, that we might be able to stand all the storms that come our way. And you know, Christ has never lost a battle. But people will say, well, oh, he did. He was crucified. No, he didn't. He said, I lay my life down. No man takes it. He come for a purpose, and that was to die for me and for you. And he said, and raise again. And he's the only one that did. Buddha, if there was such a thing, is nothing compared to God. I don't care what image they make of anything and they call it a God. They can make it out of the finest things that there is here on earth. But what is it? It's still an image, and it was made by man. You know, you can grab that and feel it in your hands. But that's only an outward touch. I've never felt God with my hands to reach out and take a hold and feel it that way. But I've had God to touch my heart and me feel Him from the inside out. Why? Because He's more real than that that you can lay your hand on and touch. Here, He's more real than that that you can see with your eyes. I heard Him speak unto me so plain that I turned. I thought there was someone speaking, but there was no one there that my eyes could see. But God was communicating very clear exactly what that He wanted. I heard with my ears the word. It seemed I could hear somebody walking, and I turned. But the Lord was all around her. He's able to be there. So real unto you. The devil can't make you down. That's what He meant when He said, I'm in you, governor. If you say, I don't believe that God really exists, get on your knees and pray with a broken heart. Truly repent, and God will prove Himself. I know of a lot of people in my own self. I've actually had run from preaching. And I've known a lot of people that backslid. But, you know, I don't know of a one that really had the Spirit that would tell you when they was in sin that it wasn't real. Though they turned and walked away from it, they'd still tell you, oh, it was real. It was real. You and I today, I'm here to tell you, it's real. You know, man would like to be able to do away with Christ. You know, our government, they're trying every way that they can to take God and Christ out of anything. The Ten Commandments, they don't want them to be hung in our school because it might affect the way children live. They might want to abide by them. Boy, wouldn't that be something? If they did, we wouldn't have such things as that Columbine shooting and all of that. If they just abide by it, you know, you're not supposed to kill. Wouldn't that be good if our students was to listen to it? We're living in a day and a time when children respect nothing. We need to have things hanging in front of them that they know endures. that they know stand for something. Today, the people, they don't want you to pray in public to bring forth the name of God or of His Son, not to mention anything like that. But it's time for anybody to stand up, an atheist or whatever, and spout what they believe. Well, I'm here to tell you today that God is real, and His Son is real, and the Holy Spirit is real if you want to have an experience with it. But if you don't, that don't mean that it doesn't exist. That just means there's coming a day when you'll stand before it and find out that it's too late for you to pray. In hell, there are going to be people praying 24 hours a day. If you can mark time in an hour, but God said He'll never be answered. Why? Because once they go in the river, there's no way to get out. What's in that place? The fire's not a quit. The rich man, when he lifted his eyes in hell, he couldn't even get one drop of water off a man's finger. The coolest tub, why? It went beyond the place their prayers could be answered. Today God is reaching for you, telling you I've made a way, that you might know that I'm real, that I'm here to hear and to answer your prayer and to give you a comforter that will abide with you. He said, what know ye not, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. Now, you and I, here he said, your body is a temple of God, which is in you. You know, it's not something that's just put on the outside when we come to church. You know, a lot of people, they'll dress up in their finest to go to church because I've got to look better than so-and-so, because if I don't, it's going to make people think that I'm not as good as they are. Well, you know, isn't it a shame? God looks down and He knows that we ain't good at all, because He sees what's really in the heart. And you know, it would break a lot of people's heart to know this. They may come to church today in a $500 suit. And there may be somebody walk in with patched pants and a hole in their shirt. And God look down and say, oh, how beautifully they're dressed. Because He's looking at what's on the heart. And if their sin's been forgiven, He said, they're wrapped in a robe of righteousness. And that $500 suit, if the sin has not been forgiven, that man is dressed in rags that's filthy and torn. Not worth having in the eyes of God. You and I, it's not the outward appearance that God looks at. It's the heart. I've seen people that the world will look out and say, oh, they had prospered very much. They worked their whole life and they hadn't accumulated anything. They're not worth anything. But God looked down, and that man or that woman, when they get on their knees to pray, heaven would just come down around the wire. They put value upon things that was important. It wasn't a thing to this world. They laid their treasures on in a thing that was drawing interest that this world couldn't buy. Why? You and I would never be under God. And we come before our life and the interest that living for the Lord has drawn is poured out upon us here, little by little. But when this life is over, we can have abundantly for all of eternity. God said to lay up treasures there where nothing can destroy it. These balls are nothing. Down here you can lay up treasures in a bag and it can go belly up and you'll have nothing. But today God is willing to give unto you and I everything. Listen to this. He said, all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. You and I, there is nothing that God will withhold from us if we live the life that he wants us to live. Now don't go away and say that I promised you that you'll be a millionaire because God will give it to you. No, what he'll give you will be worth more than a million. There's no good thing that he'll withhold from you. A lot of people, they think, oh, if I had $1 million, I could do so much good. If you had $1 million, you might not even have time to serve the Lord. You might be so occupied with trying to keep somebody else from getting that from you, you'd lose what you had with God now. And to lose your salvation is not worth $100 million. We're better off to be poor, wondering where our next meal's coming from, and to die with God than it is to be rich. Lazarus, he laid at the rich man's door begging, but he knew God. The rich man, he had everything. He didn't know God. Which one do you want to be when you read what the Bible said about him? I'd rather be that poor man. Because life here is short. To be rich here is short. To be rich in the hereafter is eternity. You and I, don't let the things of the world separate us from God. Don't let the cares of this life keep us from being what God would have us to be. You know, sin separates. We're living in a day and a time when man wants to think that once we come to the Lord, that we've got it made. I have actually heard men say, God's forgiven you of your past, present, and future sin. The Bible teaches us that we're forgiven of that that's in the past. That that's out there in the future. We better keep right before God. If I sin, he said, have an advocate. He said, I write unto you, little children, that you sin not. But if you do, to have an advocate. Why? Because if you don't pray, if you don't get forgiveness for it, you'll stand and face God for it, and no sin's going in. That comforter, when you do wrong, it's going to be there to convict you and to let you know you did wrong. And when we hear that, and we're listening to it, and we get on our knees and repent, that's how we cleanse ourselves again. He said, keep yourselves unspotted. He said he was coming after those without spot or wrinkle. You know, that ought to let people know just how careful a life God's requiring of us. Have you ever seen some, you know, a lot of material anymore don't have to be ironed like it did when I was a kid growing up. There's still a few garments that you do, but I can remember back when Dad always get out shirts that had come from a cleaning. They'd all been pressed. But you know, even now, the way they folded them, they had wrinkles in the back. I can remember Mom when she'd wash and iron them and she'd hang them up. There wasn't a wrinkle in that shirt. She was so careful. But Dad sitting in the car, by the time he got to church, when he took his coat off, there was wrinkles in that shirt. God said he's coming for those without spot or wrinkles. You and I today, that's what it means. It means you've got to be careful with that garment that God has given you. Not to get it messed up with the things of the world. To live a careful life. Being obedient unto what God asks. And that's why he, that comforter, is here to teach me and you exactly what God requires. The preacher is not going to be with you every day, all day long. But that comforter is. And when the trials come, when the temptations come, and the devil tries to get you to do something that's wrong, you'll hear or you'll feel that voice speaking to you and let you know, no, leave him alone. And if you Listen to that voice. You haven't sinned just because the temptation was there, or just because the thought come to your mind. If you didn't get into it, you haven't sinned. But when we do give into it, that's when we've sinned. And that's when we need to repent, right then. And, you know, the man or the woman that says, I'm too strong. I've lived this life too long. The devil can't get me. The devil's already got you in a snare right there. You and I, we need to be alert. With our eyes upon Christ. Praying and talking to Him. With our mind and our heart open. Ready to listen. Eyes to see. And ears to hear. What the Spirit says. And He'll speak unto us. While we get some song to sing. If you are a child of God, that Comforter should be living on the inside of you. That Spirit should be there 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And even on leap year, when we have one extra day, you can't have that day out. God's got to be in that one for you too. You and I today, the Comforter is real. The Spirit is real. And if it's never took up its abode in your life, I'm here to tell you today, you're still in your sin. It makes no difference what denomination church you belong to. It makes no difference how big it is, how little, how nice a building, or how poor the building. If you don't have the Spirit on the inside, you are lost. Why? Because that's what He said. He, that Comforter, will come and He'll take up its abode in you. That Holy Ghost will dwell in you because you are the temple of God. And if you don't have that, that's a sign that you're not a born-again Christian. Joining a church is not being born again. Having that Spirit is being born again. While we sing one verse of a song, will you come? Christ loves you enough to bring it unto you. He died on Calvary and He brings it close enough to knock upon your heart. Will you let Him in? It's up to you whether you want Christ to live with you in that Comforter and that Holy Spirit or not. But each and every one of us, He made it possible. And you know, man might tell you that you don't have to be afraid that once you've been saved, that you a child of God, He won't deny you. He said, if you won't take the chastisement, then you're bastards and not sons. In other words, if you won't take correction when you do wrong, I'll disown you. You and I today, it's time for us to realize God's Word is true, and it's going to come to pass exactly as He said.